That was a day of drama off the coast of Dingle of Cuan on Dangan yesterday. A trawler ran aground on rocks near Binbawn Beach, where weather conditions were extremely poor with rough sea conditions. And the operation continues today to remove the trawler, which ran aground. The 14-person crew on board were winched to safety by Coast Guard Helicopter Rescue 115 in a dramatic rescue, which took place, as I said, in terrible weather conditions. With me on the line to talk about this, we have John Draper, who's Divisional Controller of the Irish Coast Guard. And we also have Frank Kaitka, who's Officer in Charge of Dingle Coast Guard. Good morning to both of you. And John, if I can start with you yesterday, when did the call first come in and what happened after that?
Yeah, morning, Jerry. The call came in from a member of the public, actually noticed that the vessel was drifting just outside the lighthouse. So that was just about 23 minutes past 11. So after that, really, it was just a matter of initiating a search and rescue plan. And that was based around tasking Frank's team there, the local Dingle Coast Guard unit. They would have been on scene first. The other taskings then would have been the rescue helicopter from Shannon, as you said, and then the Valentia lifeboat, and also the fixed wing, the Coast Guard fixed wing aircraft as well, was tasked as well. So, the operation kicked in. Once Dingle got on scene, they were able to relay back the situation at hand. You know, there was 14 crew on board. We had established communications with the vessel itself as well on VHF at that stage and confirmed they'd lost engine power coming out. So that was the initial stage. And then after that, then it was really assessing what the next steps were. The Valentia lifeboat had said that, look, it was too rough to launch the Y boat, which would be the small boat off the deck, to get in close enough to get access. So really the only option at that stage was to work with the helicopter and get them to commence winching. And that's what happened there, Jerry. It was really with the help of the Dingle Coast Guard unit setting up the landing site as well, beside, just close to the shore there as well. But it was phenomenal what they did, really. The winching operation was really, they took, I mean, it was 20, you count up the times, it was 20 minutes for the winch, the 14. That's just the actual winching, and 28 minutes in total then from start to finish, which was phenomenal work with that helicopter.
It happened that quickly.
Yes, well, the actual winching, that's just the commencing of the winching. Once that had started, each winch itself would have taken, you know, less than 2 minutes each time. So it was very quick. And that's as a report from the coxswain of the lifeboat. He was timing it as things were going. So about 20 minutes in total just to do the winch operation. There was a lot more around that, assessing it beforehand, before they commenced. And then afterwards, then landing them with the actual casualties afterwards. So, yeah, look, it was amazing what they did there. Yes, and it was a risky operation, but it was dynamically risk assessed, and they did it very well.
Yeah. Certainly, all the training came into force and came into work for everyone involved, because it was really excellently done. Frank Heidke, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me this morning. Can you tell me what happened from your perspective yesterday?
Yeah. Good morning, Doug. Yeah, it's a little bit like John said there. We were tasked there. The unit was tasked about 11:30 or so. And it's not a long distance from our station, so they were there within minutes, really, like, you know. So, and they were preparing. Our team is geared to perform cliff rescue as well. Know what they did. They assessed the situation. They were able to take some footage and relay the situation, report back to Valentia Coast Guard radio there to the controllers, and they were also preparing to commence with the cliff rescue should be needed, in case the vessel broke up, or that if the crew decided to abandon the vessel, they would have finished up on the cliff and they would have got. Now, the conditions were horrendous at the time, so it was unlikely that was going to happen, but just as a backup in case helicopter operations wouldn't work all that well, or maybe to commence the cliff rescue at a later stage, they were preparing on that, and like John said, also preparing a landing site for the helicopter, because they need a safe landing zone where they can operate safely, and they were dropping off the first 7 or 8 casualties once they had them on board.
Yeah,
dropped them on the cliff top sort of thing, and went out again to lift the remains of the crew.
Yeah, what were weather conditions like? How bad were they, Frank?
It was pretty bad. Visibility was a little bit of an issue. It was actually quite clear. Our team, they tell us that it was fairly clear the time of the lift. But even 10, 20 minutes after, there was a lot of mist and cloud came in again. Like, you know, so visibility was coming and going. It was inclement enough, and obviously the waves were breaking over the vessel, you know, and it was getting an awful rocking. So conditions were extremely challenging for the helicopter crew, who performed a fantastic lift there.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
To watch, John, they were telling me.
Yeah, they were, John, that was just incredible. When you see the winching operation, and you see the waves coming in, and the boat listing this way and that while the winching was going on, it took a considerable amount of skill to manage that situation and manage it safely for all 14.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke to the winchman who was on the deck, coordinating from the deck level, and he said that, you know, it was between the waves that they had to conduct the operation. So the pilot was relaying when the waves were due to come in and crash against the hull. So he had to brace himself between the winch and part of the deck structure each time, and then call the crew in from the wheelhouse as they were made ready then to winch two at a time. So, extremely challenging, very challenging. As each wave hit, you'd said that there was a serious jolting up through the whole superstructure of the vessel because it was on bouncing off rock, lifted up by the wave, and then crashed down on top of the rock again. So really, really challenging scenario for them, but really amazingly executed.
And at any stage then, it could have hit the rock in a certain way, and all of a sudden, you know, more damage done, things could have started to get very, they were already pretty hairy, if I can use that term. It could have gotten worse at any stage. That's why there was such an urgency to get it done before worse things happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think just the stability of the vessel alone, with trying to secure each crew member in between each crashing wave, was the challenge there. And there's no doubt that there was obviously a potential for, you know, a crew member to be knocked overboard if they were knocked off their feet, you know, by the crashing waves. So that all had to be managed and coordinated effectively.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, do you have any idea as to what happens now, John? And is there a salvage operation on, and maybe concerns about, you know, oil or fuel leaking from the stricken vessel?
Yeah, well, we'll be liaising with the harbour authority there, and there is a contractor on site today as we speak assessing the situation. So we'll take it from there and assess things to see what the next steps are.
Obviously, there'll be an investigation into this, as there is with all maritime, but this was a boat that was leaving Dingle Harbour and then just got into difficulty in rough conditions and ended up in near Bean Vaughan and all that followed from there.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they lost engine power. It's not unknown with any vessel. They do lose power no matter what vessel it is. And that was just the unlucky power for them on that side. So that's really how it panned out.
Yeah, that certainly is. Frank, listen, look, hopefully this is just the most dramatic thing that happens on the coastline for this Christmas. But would you have any advice for people who are out and about over this period in terms of staying safe? Because as we saw yesterday, and as you mentioned, the conditions can change in a matter of minutes. If you're out for walk or out for whatever, that you just be aware of all times that things can go against you.
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. I would just say to people there to be as prepared as they can if they are going to be outdoors in bad weather. And like we always say, stay back, stay high, and stay dry. You know, a lot of people might go a little bit too close to the edge and don't realize the danger they're in. So that's really the advice, and to be prepared. You know, up on the hills, up on the cliff, near the shoreline. The unexpected can happen very fast, particularly in this spell of bad weather we're having.
Yeah, and we really are having a bad spell of bad weather. Okay, John and Frank, thanks very much for taking time, and well done again for your involvement yesterday as part of that overall recovery. We have Nuala Moore on the line as well. Nuala, good morning to you.
And good morning to you.
Tell me what happened from your point of view. You were at the scene before the emergency services arrived yesterday, so you saw what was going on and this ship in serious trouble.
No, I wasn't. But prior to the helicopter arriving, I arrived just, you know, the way what happens, it's, you know, you get information, then suddenly we descend upon coasts. I think people who are of the sea, of the water, fishing,
yes.
Anytime okay. We hear there's a vessel in trouble. So, yeah, no, I just arrived and went on to Beam Bonn Head. Beam Bonn would be the place that I would be most familiar with through my life, either as a swimming or as anything. Beam Bonn would be my space. So, yeah, went out. Yeah, it was phenomenal to see the rescue services, and you've just heard an amazing information there from both John and Frank. From my perspective, you know, I think the vessel was already in difficulty, obviously, at that point. The gusting, it was coming straight in. You had tide coming in, you had waves coming in, you had the wind, some of the gusts were huge. And then just to see the volume of majority volunteers at that point, and you're there and they're giving up of their time and risk assessing at instance and creating environments to try and remove those people from that vessel, because I mean the vessel was not, I mean there was no way those people could have got off that vessel themselves. It was in such a perilous situation on the rocks there. So I think from a position from ourselves, like, I mean the gratitude that we should have to all of these people, of these volunteers.
Yeah, amazing. Because like, when you look at the conditions that were there, the winching operation, the professionalism of everyone involved, how quickly it was done, and just the potential for loss of life was you know, it was incredibly dangerous a situation.
And I think sometimes we forget about the risks to the people involved in the rescues as well. You know, I mean. You know, the helicopter is thankfully and gratefully, we would say, here not too far away from us. They're here within a short period of time, and they mobilise and they're in the air and coming through the skies. Yesterday, you can hear them coming over Beam Bonn Head, and it's just the most amazing sound when you're watching a rescue to see like that sound of that helicopter coming overhead. It's like, you know, this is the most amazing safety measure now is coming on top of everything. So, you know, to see we had Valentia was standing off. You had so many volunteers. You had the Coast and Dingle Coast and Cliff Rescue there. You had the fire service. You had the ambulance. You had the guards. And I mean, all of these people are risk assessing on a pinhead, you know, and then you have just overhead this amazing helicopter comes. And then, you know, it's as if there's top cover and top cover and top cover. And we forget that all of these people are at risk as well, until the risk is gone. And you know, that's the gratitude that I think any person in a coastal community or in a mountain community, we need to keep that in the belly of the beast, is that like these people are like, they suddenly kick in and like it's our life, it's their life, it's the people on the vessels. And I mean, I'm from a fishing family, and there by the grace of God go anybody. And if she had lost power, you know, if she turned out towards Slayhead and had lost power out there, it would have been a totally different scenario. So from my perspective, watching the helicopter, the winching was just, I mean, some of those gusts was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was. And the unsteadiness of the ship below it, and having to wait for the waves, and having the experience and the professionalism to do all that. And what you're seeing is that what we saw and what everyone could see in the video is the outcome, but it's the result of hours upon hours upon hours of training by everybody involved.
And not only that, but it's sacrifice. I mean, the training is one thing.
Time.
But, you know, in those moments in time, you sacrifice your own emotions. You sacrifice your own outcomes. You know, you're there. But it's the risk assessing. It's like they were constant. Like, these are talking about decisions made in milliseconds. And then watching the helicopter maneuver, the winch going up and down. And then just as the helicopter rose up to deliver the first, you know, six or seven, and they walked off so just calmly. But to see it maneuvering on a sideward motion because of the gusts, like the helicopter, it traveled sideways to land. It couldn't even turn to land because of the weather. But it was done so beautifully that you could sit back and think, like, these people have trained to the point that they can make these decisions. And I think from a coastal community, like, you know, we tend to forget that these are people who give up so much for these moments so that people can live. Because things happen, as Frank and John said, you know.
Yeah,
but I'm from a fishing community, and Yeah, I mean, I grew up in and on the water, and the sea is a way of life, and we have to accept that these things occur. And but it's having the safety measures in place, and it's not like we tend to look at, you know, the Dingle Coast and Cliff Rescue. We tend to look at them as units, as opposed to people, and to see them to stand. I mean, I stood on Beanbawn Head yesterday, staying far away. I wasn't in any risk. And you just, like, I sit back with such a level of pride in the willingness, but to hear the helicopter coming, watching the winching, I mean, winching down when she was moving and lifting, but it's like they have to exude so much confidence. They're the people who have to present so much, despite the fears that they have within themselves of potential risk. Yeah. They can't transfer that. So
no,
I think it's
have to be calm for the people being rescued, to keep them calm so it can all happen and all be done. Incredible job. Nuala, look, thanks very much for telling
You're
us the story
welcome.
Of what you saw yesterday, and good luck to you, and thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning.
You're very welcome, and thank you.
Okay, there's Nuala Moore there, long distance sea swimmer, at the scene yesterday, watching that dramatic rescue, the professionalism, the sacrifice that's made by these people, these courageous emergency and volunteer services that we have, both professional and volunteer, the amount of training that goes on, just absolutely astonishing. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme.